Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Wherever you go to feel significant, that seems to be what happens in life. We started talking about the need for significance on Tuesday, and the subject has kind of bubbled here a little bit. I mean, even just now with Michael talking about the nail salons. People go to nail salons. Partially, you know, what you get when you go to a nail salon is you have somebody who's paying attention to you for 20 minutes. Somebody who's doing your nails. You feel some sense of significance. Hair salons. You know, getting your hair done. I remember even getting your shoes shined used to be a thing of significance. I don't know if it still is, but, you know, I remember as a kid, having somebody shine your shoes meant something special. Like you were special if you had a shine on your shoes. I guess it meant that other people found you significant. What does that mean? We can't stop ourselves from needing to feel significant at some level. It's like a social trait that's evolved within us, and it seems to be necessary for survival. Not feeling significant causes us pain. On an emotional, personal level, it makes us feel unloved and rejected. If you're meaningless to somebody, you know, one of the great difficulties of being one of many children, like sometimes I meet people who have 9 brothers and sisters, and they're in the middle. I mean, they're really insignificant. They're like just one of the things running around. They're not even one of the kids. And they're taught. You're taught as one of many to not become troubled, not to become significant. You don't want to stand out, because if you stand out, you become trouble for your mother or father. So when you have a very large family, you're kind of trained to become invisible, to become insignificant. Then you grow up, and you wonder why you pick relationships in which you're treated as if you're not special. And part of that has to do with the fact that as a child you were trained into insignificance. And many of you have been. Many of you have been taught to be, you know, children should be seen and not heard. Children should be kind of disappear. They should serve their parents. They shouldn't give their parents grief. On a biological level, humans are driven to work together and rely on each other for survival. It's the way humans came through. You know, the way we got through was not by being stronger or smarter, but by banding together and having communication. You know, we became the pack of monkeys that were able to talk to each other and say, you know, we could go around the back and we could get our food that way. You know, why don't you go up front and I'll go in the back? And we became the communication specialists. And by banding together and working together, human race survived. If you're not significant in your own family, in your own group, in your own species, you kind of get excluded. And being excluded in any group is tantamount to being killed. Because once you're left out of the nest, you're as good as gone. You just become food for somebody else. The fear of not becoming significant or becoming insignificant causes an automatic anxiety inside of us. Our brain is wired to tell us when we are becoming insignificant, when we're disappearing, and you become nervous. And very often I think that people who have anxiety disorders have what I call a disappearing disorder. They have a feeling somehow that they're about to disappear, that they're going to leave the planet, that nobody can see them, and they're very nervous. And they do things to get noticed. They have people getting angry at them. They have people noticing them. And I think a lot of the psychological conditions that have anxiety as a major part of it is an anxiety of non-identity, of not feeling like you belong on this planet. So I think that nervous people, very nervous people, have this kind of insignificance kind of lurking around all the time. Am I significant? Am I not significant? Do I matter? Do I count? Am I here? Am I not here? The fear of not being significant creates this kind of energy in the amygdala, and I think that the amygdala, being one of these little organs that we have that generate the anxiety, it could be at work in the middle of the night. You know, in the middle of the night, you could be sleeping, and suddenly you could feel kind of yourself slipping off into a place. The amygdala will fire, and it'll have you wake up with a panic as if something is wrong, and you'll think somebody's trying to hurt you, and you'll have panic attacks. And I think this is all about trying to make yourself have meaning in this world. Remember as a kid, when you were a kid, you had fantasies, and people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? What would you see? Think back to when you were a kid. Come on, go back in time. What did you want to be? Did you want to be one thing or another? Well, I claim to you, in fact, I think we're going to do better than that today. We're going to take your calls. I want to hear from you about your childhood fantasies, about what you thought you wanted to be when you were young, and I'm going to link that into your current life and your idea of significance. So you can get on the phone and start dialing us with what your childhood fantasy was as you were a kid. We won't go to the phones yet, but you could dial us and we could get you online, 212-209-2900. What did you want to be when you were a kid? When somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did you want to be an actor, an actress? Did you want to be in the movies? Did you want to be a fireman? Did you want to be... You tell me what it was, and I'll show you a link to your psyche. Some people are lucky enough to be raised in families where significance was acknowledged so frequently that they learned that it didn't have anything to do with their behaviors. See, if you're lucky, your family says to you, you know, your family could say to you, because you did this, you're a good kid. Because you got an A, you're significant. But if you're lucky enough, you grow up in a family where the parents say to you, it doesn't matter whether you get an A or not, you're important. See, so if you are not attached to your achievement, you're lucky. But most parents attach things to achievement. Therefore, significance becomes dependent on achievement. Therefore, you want to achieve things because you want to be significant. 212-209-2900 will be taking your calls in just a little bit. Some people grow up in opposite families. They were abused no matter how they behaved. And they learned no matter what they did, they were never good enough and never considered significant enough to be loved. Most people end up in families where they need to please others in order to receive acknowledgement and to get love and acceptance. Were you one of those kids? Did you have to please people? If they do bad, they are bad. If they do good, they are good. Those individuals end up trying to achieve a sense of significance through their actions. So you spend your life trying to get noticed. And what is it you're trying to get noticed for? Well, let's start all the way back in childhood. Let's go back to when you were a kid. Let's see what your needs were. 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls. I remember when I was a kid and I was going to, we were studying statistics. And how many of you took statistics? You took a statistics course, didn't you, Stephanie? Statistics course, they would say significance and non-significance, 0.05, 0.05. Whether this data is significant or not significant is what we would test. And it was always kind of confusing. What do you mean, is it significant? I remember we studied the effects of acetoxycyclohexamide on Charles River breeding mice when we were doing these research on memory, trying to prove whether it was significant or not significant. And the only thing it meant was not that it didn't exist, not that it didn't have meaning. It's just that it have significant meaning. Meaning, was it enough of a difference that we should notice it? Well, think about that in your life. How many things in your life have you done that were different enough that you could notice them, that you could feel different, that it makes a difference in your life? What are the events that you would point to? We'll look at that also. But let's first go to your childhood. 212-209-2900 with the help of my friend Michael G. Haskins. We're going to take some calls, and I want to hear about your childhood fantasy of what you wanted to be when you were a kid. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there. Good.
Hi, Mike. My name is Ramona.
What, Ramona?
Yeah.
Hello, Ramona.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that name in so long. How nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I usually listen to your show a lot, so I'm kind of nervous about calling it.
Well, wait a minute. Now, stay with me a second, Ramona, right? You feel the nervousness, right?
Yeah.
So there's a part of you right now that is concerned, without even thinking about it, you feel this anxiety, right?
Yeah.
And a little earlier, I was talking about this anxiety. And part of the anxiety you feel, if you've listened to this program a long time, you've thought about calling in many times, you finally call in and you connect with me, what could go wrong? Just think about it for a minute. Off the top of your head, in your talking to me, what could go wrong? Could you say something stupid?
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And therefore, you would be insignificant.
Huh.
See the anxiety I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, I look at you, Ramona, or I hear you, and I say, Ramona, I haven't heard that name in a long time. I welcome you. There is nothing you could say that's going to disappoint me. Nothing.
And you know what? I'm
so happy.
That makes me feel good.
And in fact, what it makes you feel is the anxiety goes away.
Yeah.
See? So I'm proving the very point. The anxiety is a need to feel significant. Acknowledgement helps that anxiety pass. And I'm not doing it as a trick because I absolutely feel it.
You know? Well, I feel better after what you just said. So.
Yes, you felt the anxiety go away.
Yeah.
So, Ramona, tell me, when you were little, what did you want to be?
Truthfully, I just always wanted to travel the world and meet different people.
You wanted to travel the world. How did you picture yourself doing that as a kid?
Well, my grandmother would watch a lot of soap operas, and it would be the case that, you know, the people would always have money, and they would just be traveling. So whether they got the money through being married or just like an inheritance, I always thought maybe something like that. Maybe not the marriage, but maybe like some inheritance, and I'd be able to travel and meet all these different types of people.
And what kind of people would you meet that were different types?
I don't know. Asian people, Indian people, just anybody that had a different experience than me, I guess.
And the world that you came out of, you came out of a Spanish world?
Yes.
And in your world, the people around you were all kind of the same?
They were.
Yeah.
My family wasn't very loving. They were very closed and they worked a lot, but I just always wanted to meet different people and see how others lived.
So, Ramona, in your family when you were a kid, they didn't have much time for you, did they?
No, everybody was working.
Everybody was working. And when you pictured yourself going to India, when you saw yourself meeting the Indian people, how were they treating you?
It was always great. It
was
always like,
loving you. Yes.
Yeah, it was always good, and the food was good, the people were nice, and just
they
it
were
was
treating
big
you
adventure.
As if they were treating you as if you were important.
Yeah.
So you wanted to travel the world to find a place where you could have significance, and you thought, and it's not going to happen in my family because my family doesn't have it to give, so I'll find it outside of myself.
Interesting.
Interesting, isn't it? So let me ask you, in your later life, what happened? Did you become, do you have a family, Ramona?
No, I do not.
Uh-huh.
No children.
No, I didn't mean that. Do you have parents?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Are they still around?
My mother's still alive. I'm not sure about my father.
Because you don't know where he is.
No.
Because he left you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't consider you significant enough to find you.
I guess not.
Well, do you ever think about that?
I try not to,
because it hurts.
Know. It doesn't necessarily hurt, but it's just like why I can't miss something I never had.
Well, so here we're saying that you have this fantasy about needing to be important to somebody, you know, and you would love to be important to some of the people as you travel the world. One of the places where you can be important, Ramona, and I'm going to ask you if you want to step up to this, when we do our fund drive where we raise money next starting in May, maybe you want to come down to WBAI and help answer the phones. And by doing that, you meet a lot of people from different cultures. It's kind of an interesting thing to do if you want to volunteer some time. Help us out raising the money for the station.
Well, that sounds good, because I like volunteering.
Well, it'd be a nice thing for you to do, and somewhere along the line there, I'd like to meet you myself. If you ever around 57th Street, you stop by here and you say, I am Ramona, because you're the only Ramona, and I will always remember you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ramona, thanks for calling in.
All right, you take care.
Okay, bye-bye. 212-209-2900. So if you hear with my ears, friend, you just listen a little closely. You know, there's a text messaging is such a mistake. People try to do romance by text messaging. Don't do romance by text messaging. Someone said to me, a woman's heart is between her ears, not between her thumbs. So, and it says she wants to hear your voice, not see your text messages. How did that come out of anywhere? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there. We're talking about your childhood wishes, your childhood fantasies, and what were they? 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Armand?
Yes.
Hi, it's Teresa. How are you?
Hello, Teresa. Good.
My childhood fantasy? I wanted to be a top international fashion model.
Top international fashion model.
Yeah,
wow.
I want.
And where would you be? Where would you be a model? What kind of international? You said where in the world would you be?
Oh, all over the world. But I thought of Paris and just every place. Just
and you would be on the catwalk.
World. I would be on the catwalk. I would be on covers of magazines. Everything.
And people would look at you and they would think what?
They would look at me and they would think, wow.
Wow what?
Wow. She's gorgeous. She's great. She's wonderful. Just kind of everything.
And how did that compare
with... lucky she is to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. And how did that compare to how you felt as a kid, Teresa?
Oh, God, I felt completely opposite as a child.
Tell me about that. Tell me.
Oh, I was just basically, well, you know me well. You know my situation.
Yeah, but the radio doesn't know your situation,
yeah.
So.
I grew up in a family that really didn't exist. I had a mentally ill mother who really had a lot of different issues. I had a father that was just kind of dismissed and out of the way. So basically, I grew up alone.
And so there you were, with not being noticed anywhere.
Right.
And of course, you had
sad.
A fantasy of, hey, I'm going to be somebody and people are going to see me and recognize who I am.
Yeah.
And just in case the world doesn't know, Teresa is one of these people who does so much good in this world without recognition, without needing to be acknowledged. She's just done volunteered her time and given to people at such a level where she doesn't ask for acknowledgement. So she's like one of these real silent heroes. And in my mind, one of the most special people on this planet.
Oh, thank you, Armand.
Did you just laugh?
Did I laugh? Well, I've got tears in my eyes.
Yeah,
thank you. That was beautiful. I also wanted to tell you that, you know, I always love your show, and I always think that it's just the most awesome, wonderful program. And these past few weeks, you have outdone yourself. And I didn't believe you could get any better, but you are.
Hmm.
It's really been phenomenal. Your show, you have really just, there's that energy and just everything. It's been fantastic. And I was going to email you later and tell you that.
Well, Teresa, we've been honing in. You know, I did a survey, and I asked people what they liked the most about the radio programs, and what they sent came back with more often than what the subject was and the topic was my communication with the people.
I agree with that.
And so that's where I've just been feeding that survey. I'm saying, well, if that's what people want, let me go there, because that's easy for me.
Yeah.
That's so easy. It's so easy because that's where my heart is, you know?
Right, and it comes out so much. You know, it's everything just comes out, who you are, what you are, all your energy, your vibrancy, your love of life, your love of people, just really comes out. And I just thought that these past few weeks were just quite phenomenal.
Well, let's step that back just a little bit, Teresa, because, you know, beauty is as beauty does in many levels. You could not recognize it. You couldn't see it unless it was in you. I am a projection of you. I am a part of you. I am just a part of you that's out there. My voice is out there on the radio. But, you know, everybody who listens, who considers this to be a magic gift that they get, the radio program, it's all inside them. Every one of you are doing the same thing. You do the same thing everywhere you go. So I may be the lucky voice. I may be the vehicle who carries it around with me. But to every one of you listening, and especially to you, Teresa, it's like we're all in it together, you know? It's us.
Right. We are all in it together. We really are. And I think you taking calls, I know I called you several times before I got a consultation. I had called you twice, and twice I got some good food for thought. It took me, from that point, almost a year to actually come into the DeMille Center and ask for help. And I think even then I was a little bit resistant, but it was actually a year ago today that I did that. And
hey, happy anniversary.
Yeah, my life has totally changed. It's
a significant date we have.
It really is.
It's an incidence of pareidolia, which I will talk about in a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay, because I don't know what that is.
I will tell you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Teresa.
Well, thank you so much, Armand.
Sure. Pareidolia, of all things. Apophenia and pareidolia. What are these things? Apophenia is the experience of seeing patterns or connections in random or meaningless data. Now, this happens to people because when people feel, they look for significance and they look for things to make sense. And sometimes you look for things to make sense and you do apophenic connections. You take what some kind of meaningless data that's out there and you say, see, it's talking about me. Now, paranoia, for example, is doing that. Apophenia is a way of trying to connect things so that they have meaning to you. One form of apophenia that's very common is called pareidolia. Now, pareidolia, aren't these interesting words? I mean, you know, could you imagine you could have gone through the GREs and never learned pareidolia or apophenia? Pareidolia is when we find significance in shapes and forms. Now, you know, like you look up at the clouds and you say, look, there's the face of Christ up in the cloud. And you think that the cloud is shaped just to look like Christ at that moment to send you a message. That's pareidolia. The word pareidolia describes a psychological phenomenon involving a vague or random stimulus, an image or a sound, and you give it a meaning. So you've heard about people, there was one woman I remember who saw in a grilled cheese sandwich, there was a face of Jesus Christ. In a taco, somebody had the Virgin Mary, on a tortilla, that was. It was on a tortilla, and it was spread around the world, and now through the internet they show all of these things. There was a monkey, I remember the monkey tree, where people would go to worship. And what people would do is they would worship these images, believing that these images had significance. Why do we have this pareidolic kind of tendency on our part? Because we need to find significance. We want to find significance. The religions use pareidolia a lot to kind of say, you know, here's the reason you should believe in God our way, in our brand of God, because we could have this pareidolic image that we'll throw at you. You know, the statue that's weeping, or the blood coming out of Jesus' hands on the cross. So the tendency on our part is to create these significant images, these pareidolic images, or these apophenic, sometimes they could be even sounds. Like if you're in a shower and you're taking a shower, sometimes you'll hear a phone ringing. Did you ever have that happen? Yeah, right? Do you think it was a phone? Well, you see, something will happen where the shower itself will set off in your mind some kind of connection that will make you feel this phone ringing. And you'll actually hear the phone ringing. You turn off the shower and there's no phone ringing. And how did that happen? Apophenia. It's the way the brain works. The brain is looking to find and create significance. This need for us to create this significance in our mind is kind of fascinating. It starts off in early childhood, like we're talking with Teresa just now, who was talking about how she was going to be a great model and she was going to be studied and people were going to love her and find her significant. Well, you know, if you met Teresa, you wouldn't have to have her become a model. She is significant. She's just one of these people, you know, and just as so many people are, they're lovable as they are. They don't have to achieve a great deal, but the fantasies of children usually involve accomplishing something or creating something or going somewhere that people will finally look at you and say, you are lovable. Like, why would somebody want to be perceived as sexy? Because they want to be lovable. See, if sex is the only way you're going to get love, how about rich? I want to be perceived as rich, right? Because then people will love you. How about powerful? I know one kid said to me he wanted to be a lawyer. And I said, why do you want to be a lawyer? Because I wanted to have the power. And what he wanted was the power of reason. Because in his family, he was always talked out of everything that he ever had. And every child who had a childhood fantasy, which you're going to be hearing more of because you're going to be calling into us at 212-209-2900 after our break today, every child who had a fantasy was showing me in some way where they were missing their sense of significance. Usually they look in power. Sometimes, you know, what they look, you're so desperate to have meaning that you look to become a parent. As we see so many teenagers nowadays becoming parents at age 13 and 14 years old. Why? What is that about? It's about significance. Because to have a baby find you significant is at least something. I have a man I know who just had a child. I saw him the other day. He hasn't slept in 3 months. As you know, new fathers don't sleep. And I looked at him, and he was wild-eyed and crazy, and his hair was all over the place. And I said, how are you? And he said, wonderful. Because he found that thing that he was looking for. He is important. He is seen. He is recognized, even if it means no sleep. So part of the unfortunate part of this overpopulated world is people are finding their significance by having babies. And, oh, you know, that's not doing us very much good. That's not a reason to be having a child. So you could be celebrity. You could be parenting. It could be power. You could want to have a fancy car. You could be wanting to have, you know, all the people treating you, want to be rich and wealthy, be a musician. All those things we want to hear from you. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, my friends, we're going to be asking you to call in with more of your childhood fantasies of what you wanted to be when you were a kid. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. A little Tommy Dorsey with a surprise singer. Here's the very beginning of Frank Sinatra.
That that this heart and mind embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
I'll be seeing you. That's Apophenia with Tommy Dorsey. I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, little Frank Sinatra, Tommy Dorsey. I'll be seeing you. We're talking about apophenia, pareidolia, and the need to be significant. And we're talking about your childhood fantasies when you were a kid. It was all related to this. It still is, you know, my friends. People say, I can't live without love. I have to find my significant love. Now, there are some of you who believe that unless you find a relationship, you're meaningless. In fact, there are religions that say, unless you find your significant other, you're only half a person. Yeah, I know. I know. It's your religion, too. They say, you're meant to find your other half, you know, and your other half is like you're a split and you're a boy and a girl. And you got to find it. Unless you find your other half, it's all about significance. If you're significant on your own, it's nice if you find a relationship. And if you don't have a relationship, it's also nice. But if your relationship, if your significance is based on the existence of your relationship, you can't afford to separate with that person. That means you have to be desperate. That means you have to hold on for dear life. That means you disappear if the relationship disappears. That's quite a burden to put on a relationship, don't you think? 212-209-2900, we're taking your calls about your childhood fantasies, and we're extending that to your need for significance. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Eddie Armand.
Hello, Eddie.
Yeah, I liked the topic. The aspect of the childhood fantasy, right?
Yes.
I was wondering, and actually I found myself never really wanting to be anyone or anything, per se. I spent a lot of my childhood, I guess, fantasizing, watching a lot of television, looking at all the heroes, per se, and the good and the bad and the ugly and the cowboy movies. And I remember one time you made a suggestion about pulling out a picture when you were a child and putting it somewhere so that you can kind of like connect with that child.
Sure.
And I found a picture with myself. I've maybe been like 6 years old, sitting on a pony with a little cowboy hat and a toy pistol, and it's been in my room ever since. It's a good while back. It seems like
Eddie. Here's a very important thing. Do you know when you look at that kid on that pony that he wasn't there? That kid wasn't happy.
Yes, he wasn't. Yeah.
I know he wasn't. He wasn't even there. So what you've been looking at is a picture of you not being there. That kid already left. By the time they put the cowboy hat on him and they had him on the pony, he already left. So you, my dear friend, left a long time ago. What did you leave? What was going on that made you have to leave so early?
Well, there was dad wasn't he got very ill at a young age, so I had to take a different role in the home and talk about significance or insignificant. I mean, I always, you know, kind of wanted this feeling of wanting to be embraced and touched and hugged and all that stuff. It never happened.
Of course, it didn't.
Didn't get it from dad. Mom didn't know how to.
And you were given a new role. You were taken when I said the kid was missing on the pony. Because the minute you mentioned that pony picture, I saw it. Mm. And when I looked in your eyes, I said, he's vacant. He's not there. So what happened was you had to become, not be a child. You had to become an adult. You became significant before you were ready to be significant. You became this kind of parent. You were taking care of things at an early age. So you wouldn't have any fantasies about being anything that was responsible. The thing you would love to be do is held and loved.
Right.
You know? So what have you done to get that for yourself in your life?
Well, ironically enough, my journey took me to some kind of not too happy, unhappier places where I discovered a better place in regards to letting go of certain things in my life, and I found the little child, I think, and I started to have a little more compassion for him, and I think that I found a sense of purpose for myself, and sometimes as simple as being of service to someone else.
Yeah, you get it, Eddie.
And you know, we have a saying sometimes when people say it's good to see you. I say it's good to be seen, because I'm learning how to really live life, and it took a long time. And you know, the funny thing about it is that I'm kind of going through a relationship that, as much as I would think I kind of got this, I'm brought back to a lot of the same. Feelings of wanting to be nurtured, touched, and when you were the last thing you were talking on before you went to the break was so appropriate as far as the relationship aspect of how am I having the relationship with myself?
Yeah, Eddie, it's a real big question because, you know, the kid's still on the pony and people are still looking at him. So let me ask you very clearly, Eddie, right? If you were to say it out loud, and you would just say the very simple truth about you. You would say, I, Eddie, here's the truth about me. I just want to be held. I just want to be loved. I just want to be seen. Is that true?
That's true.
So say the words. Say it
I want to be held.
But I want you to say it from the part of you that really feels it.
I just want to be held.
Yes.
I want to be seen. I want to be loved.
Yeah.
I want to feel as though someone cares about me.
Yeah, you're speaking for a lot of people, Eddie. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. So Eddie's talking the truth, huh? There it is. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Armand. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. The world needs more Armand in this world. Thank you. We really appreciate you.
You know how few there are? I wish somebody would name a baby Armand. You know, there's so few people with that name. I can't understand that it's such a good name, too. Hi there.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Yeah, my name is James.
James?
James.
Hello, James.
I was really calling about, I need your office number so I could have a consultation with you. I've been listening to you for quite some time and always wanted to come have a consultation with you.
Well, you can wait till our fund drive, which is coming up in May, and you get it at a real discount. It might be a good idea, you know, wait till the beginning of May when we start our fund drive at WBAI and we'll be offering it as a premium. So that would be a really good time to do it, and you can save yourself the money of it and give the money to the station at the same time.
Okay.
If you want to do it before, our number here is 212-757-4488.
727-557-4488.
James, when you were a kid, what did you want to be?
I wanted to be a pilot.
A pilot? You wanted to be free. Oh, did you want to be free? Oh, did you want to soar above everything? Boy, I can imagine that. What did you want to fly? You want to fly a single-engine plane or a big plane?
I think the single engine.
Yeah, like a bird.
Yeah.
Like you wanted to fly, and you wanted to be able to be above it all. So when you were on the ground when you were a kid, James, how was the world around you?
It was hectic. I came from a large family. I was the second eldest, and I wanted to be.
Well, let me ask you something. If you're the second eldest, were you responsible for a lot of the other kids?
Yes. I started my life when I was 17. I was like a father to my mother.
That's what I mean. Absolutely. Man, your wings. You know, you were like a guy who couldn't fly because he was totally responsible for everybody around him. No wonder you wanted to become a pilot. Did you ever take flying lessons?
No, but I want to.
So how old are you now, James?
37.
37 years old. Let me tell you, there's a good chance here, right? There's still a couple of flying lessons in the cards for you. They're easy to get. When is your birthday?
June 20th.
It looks like it's coming up, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you think you could arrange a flying lesson between now and June 20th? Can you imagine, James, you get in an airplane with a pilot, and he gives you a lesson, and you give yourself that for your birthday? Can you picture that?
Yeah.
How does it sound?
Oh, it's good. I'll be living my dream.
Yeah. You'll be living your dream. I look forward to meeting with you, James.
Thank you, Omar.
Sure. 212-209-2900. I hope he does it. I had a friend who did that. All planned. You know, his 40th birthday, all planned. Right? It rained that day. What a disappointment. So he goes out for his flying lesson, and it rained. So he never got his flying lesson. I asked him after that, did you ever take your flying lesson? He said no, because it rained. So there was something mixed in the motives. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Hey, how you doing, Armand?
I'm doing great.
Pleasure to talk to you. My name's Sebado, and the thing about my childhood is I don't recall ever, like, ever wanting to achieve anything or be anything. I guess the last thing I recall is me growing into, like, I guess wanting to be successful and stuff.
Well, wanting to be successful, you know. When you were a kid, where'd you grow up, Sabino?
Where?
Yeah.
I guess in Jersey.
In Jersey, what was your family like?
Five kids.
Five kids, Did you have any superheroes? Did you have any comic books that you loved?
What was the question?
Did you have any comic books that you liked?
None. I can't say we were brought up, like, in a very religious family.
Oh, boy. So okay.
I can't even say we were able to, like, even watch that much TV.
Well, that's the incredible thing about religious family. What kind of religion were they?
They were Pentecostal.
Pentecostal. So, you see, the Pentecostal religion, and when it's a very religious family, they suppress dreams. They try to keep you at home by closing down your dreams, which I fully understand. It's one of the ways that religion have always held people together, by closing down their dreams.
Yeah, I kind of noticed. I guess that's why, like, I guess now that I'm more mature, I don't even, like, I guess to a certain extent, I don't even want anything to do with that, you know?
Of course. You know, you'll find your own answer to what is spirituality, and you usually don't find it through the formal religion.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have in your life? Do you have any relationships with anybody?
Well, I got married at a young age, at 19, and it's funny because, like, I think I left my family when I was, like, around 17, right after I graduated high school, because, like I said, I guess for some reason, it clicked, and I just wanted to, like, leave my house.
Sure.
And it's funny because it came to a point where, like, everything just happened. My wife, like, she pretty much wanted to, like, leave her house. And I had to kind of, like, move further South Jersey to go to school. So it just worked out that we kind of, like, moved out together. But, you know, like I said, that, I guess, as we grew up, I realized that, I guess, our views in life weren't parallel. So, you know, I just kind of ended it. So, I mean, that was my only significant end.
Well, that's pretty significant. So you did see that your life wasn't parallel. You did get away from your family. You did break out. Are you on your own now? Do you live alone?
No, I came back to my family's house. I'm living with my sister now.
You're living with your sister. How's your relationship with her?
Pretty good, actually. I can't say, like, I learned a lot from, like, my being married. Like, I learned what it is to have, like, a close family. I mean, my ex-wife's family was very close. You know, we got along pretty well. And when I came back to, you know, move back in with my sister, we weren't brought up to be close to each other. But I brought that with me, you know, and I kind of worked that out so that, you know, we became even closer.
Oh, what a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing. And I hope the two of you can extend that outward to welcome other people into your life.
Yeah, so,
well,
I mean...
Thank you for calling in, Sabato. Thank you for being part of our family here.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Sure.
Bye.
212-209-2900. Very important for him. 212-209-2900. It's wonderful. 212-209-2900. We're taking your calls. I'm asking you this one question, my friends. When you were a kid and you wanted to have, and you had fantasies, what was your fantasy? What did you want to be? Did you want to be a movie star? If you wanted to be a star, if you wanted to be recognized, if you wanted to be seen, that was so important. As many people we hear, you know, they just didn't have, this ability to be seen. Hi, let's take another call. You're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hi there.
I'm so glad I got through.
Good. Who is this?
This is Rob.
Hello, Rob.
I think all little boys want to be a couple of things. I remember one thing I did want to be is a ventriloquist.
Wow, what an interesting thing.
Yeah, I used to see the dummies, you know, in the store, and I'd picture myself...
throwing your voice.
Sorry?
Throwing your voice.
I guess, yeah. I'd picture myself with one on my knee in front of people, like making people laugh.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I can tell you what I think that means, Rob. What I think that means is that when you were a kid, you had a lot of problems getting angry with people, and that you needed an alter voice, another voice, to be able to get angry at people, because there was a part of you that was being obedient and being good, and you needed a significant other voice to be able to express some of the hostility that you really felt. Was there a good reason for you to be pissed off as a kid?
Maybe, yeah, I would say. There was probably a lot of reasons, and you're right about the obedience thing. I'm kind of shy and don't want to offend people and don't want to show my anger. I try not to do that.
Right, so that's the man behind the dummy, and then the dummy comes out, and it's just outrageous.
And he heckles people.
And he heckles people. That's exactly right, of course.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that's the thing with a lot of entertainer and ventriloquist-type, you know, people that do that?
Yes, I think that they are looking to find a voice. They're looking to find their original voice, but they're stuck because they're supposed to be a certain way.
Another thing I did want to be is a truck driver, but aside from that, I also... like to play guitar and sing, so I like to do that in front of people. And it's almost as if I'm doing this and saying to the people, like, look at me, I can do this. You know
sure.
what I mean? It seems
including
like it's always
the truck
in the back
driving.
Of my mind.
Including the truck driving. Look
I
at
believe
me,
that
I can
as well,
do this.
Sure. Yep, I can do this. I'm competent, and maybe I could do something that not everyone else can do. I guess it makes me special in my own mind.
So how do you feel about your life nowadays, Rob?
I'm content.
And are you doing something that you consider as significant in your own mind?
I do my music. I like doing that.
What do you do?
I just do cover songs with an acoustic guitar and sing and harmonica. I like to play a lot of Neil Young and James Taylor and stuff. And I go to bars and do open mics and just do my thing in front of people.
And people look at you and they appreciate you and they applaud you and you get that nice feeling, right?
Oh, yeah, you got that right.
I hear you. Well, thanks for calling in, Rob. Thanks for being part of
it. Nice to talk to you, Armand.
Sure.
Bye.
212-209-2900. So even in your choice as ventriloquist, you are trying to find the alternative voice, that other voice in whom. You ever watch children, little girls, talk through their baby dolls? It's kind of fascinating to hear what the dolls have to say. Very often, you know, they're just showing you the voice. Boys, they love their boy dolls. You know, they like their boy heroes or the comic book heroes. If you were to pick the specific, you know, there are so many different comic book heroes or superheroes that a person could be. Why would a person want to be Spider-Man versus Aquaman versus Superman? Why those? Well, because the quality that they're looking for is the very quality that they think they need to get the love that they want. We'll find out about that. 212-209-2900. Maybe time for one more call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yeah, hi. Okay, great. Got through. My childhood fantasy was to be, to work with the community, to be like the, to help them.
To help people.
Health-wise. Yeah, I always dreamed of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and in my own community, I'm Hispanic, so I've always dreamed of it, and I did it.
So you actually got out there and you did help people.
I did it, yeah. I love science, man. I went to the military. I came out. I went to college, became a biologist. I taught for a while, and then I got into pharmacology. And I did that for years. I ended up owning my own pharmacy.
And you have your own pharmacy now?
I know. I'm retired now. I'm, you know, getting older now.
And so
the injuries I got in the military are catching up to me, so I had to leave that.
And so when you helped your community, when you were able to help people and you were working in the pharmacy and you realized your dream, you realized, you said, this is exactly what I wanted to do, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell people, go for it. And you know, I can't find enough people to get to the sciences.
You can't find what?
People to study science, you know, biology, chemistry, or anything, any of the sciences, you know, like anthropology, anything like that.
Well, you know, I think people are learning more and more that getting information is kind of valuable, and I think it's more and more available. So I think you were very early when you did it. But I think people are really getting out there, and I think people are beginning to appreciate the different things. But, you know, what you did is what really counts. But listen, even though you're near retirement, do you got any time to volunteer to help us out at the station?
Oh, yeah, I volunteer. I tutor. I help with science projects.
Well, help us down at the station, too. You know, WBAI could always use someone like you with the kind of skills you have and the heart that you have. So when you hear us calling for our volunteers, would you please step up?
Sure. I've been meaning to do it. I have to just take some time and do it. Like I said, I volunteer at this time of the year. They know me, so they're asking me for school projects. Understand.
Sure. What's your name, by the way?
Victor.
Victor, I will remember you. I'll be looking forward to meeting with you.
Great. I'll be looking to talk to you. Forward to speaking with you.
Thank you, Victor. Thanks for being with us.
Okay. Thanks, Armand.
Sure.
You're always welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to have to be going, my friends. I'll be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m. Wonderful to talk with all of you. You're such beautiful people. If you want a copy of today's program, not a copy, but if you want to hear today's program, you can go to WBAI.org, from whence you can make donations always to our wonderful station, or you could download our program, or you can go to thepositivemind.com and learn more about the work I do.
This is Ian Forrest, host and producer of Connections 3-6 every other Monday morning, right here on WBAI FM 99.5. Connections features music and musical greats, interesting interviews and perspectives from the immigrant community you very likely won't hear anywhere else. Again, it's me, Ian Forrest, inviting you to listen to Connections right here on WBAI FM 99.5, 3-6 in the early morning time. time every other Monday. Give it a spin now, live or archived on www.wbai.org, and tell me what you think. Share it with a friend too, and let's make connections.
Damn, there sure does seem to be a lot of hippies on the 2 and 3 trains with me. Jeez, the whole car smells like weed and not champa. Wonder what's going on. And they all seem so excited. Maybe there's a Grateful Dead concert downtown. But there are more BAI t-shirts than tie-dye. Oh yeah, they're probably headed to Fun Drive, just like me.
That's right, folks. Spring Fun Drive has arrived at WBAI. Fun Drive is scheduled for May 4th through May 28th. No matter if you're a happy hippie or an activist or a listener sponsor, to us, you're all our volunteers. Got some time in May? Then come give us a hand as a phone room volunteer. To sign up, call Vera at 212-209-2826. That's 212-209-2826. Your volunteer participation is critical to the success of our fund drives. We offer our thanks in advance. Yeah.